Today's daf is daf Kufyud Beis. How far did you get to? The top of Kufyud Beis or the bottom of Kufyud Aleph? Hard to remember. Okay, the top line. So Gemara says, Rav Ada Bar Ava, top line of Kufyud Beis. I'm an Aleph. Rav Ada Bar Ava, Masni Loha, the Rami Bar Chama. He had understood the statement of Rami Bar Chama was really on a following brisa, aha, as opposed to earlier we thought it was in the Mishnah. So now it's saying on this brisa. What does the brisa say? Iniach lehen avien mal shel ribis. Up until now we've been talking about gzeila, now we're talking about ribis. So the father had collected an interest, and he left for as a yerusha all that interest that he collected. So afa pisha yodin shehin shel ribis. Even though the children know it's ribis, ein chayavim lahachzir. There's no obligation for the children to return the ribis to the rightful owners. So on this comes along Amir Rami Bar Chama Zos Ameris. This comes to tell us Rishus Yorish Kirishus Lokeach Damim. When there's Yerusha, it's considered as if it went to another person, and we know Shini Rishus is Kona. So that's why the children get to keep it. So Rav Amar the Olamim Lecha Rishus Yorish Lavki Rishus Lokeach Damim. Rav says it's not true. Maybe you could say normally when it changes to Yerusha, it's not viewed as a Lokeach. It's not viewed as it's going to another owner. It's a sinless transition. The son is in the place of the father. There's a Gemara, Rishonim talk about Yerushas HaBen, rather Yerushas HaAv, when a Ben is Yerush the father. So the Shitas Baal Mor says it's Ki'ilu HaAv Kayim, as if there's no transition here. There's no transaction here. It's as if the father's still alive when the son is Yerush. So that's the Shitas Baal Mor. There's Rashi and Horyos that says that. So it's not at all. Now this is more in general. Lav dafka the ben. Anyone, any Yerusha, is not viewed as a lokeach. Yet you could still say, when it comes to ribis, you don't have to return it. Why? Says Rava, shiny hacha, here is different. Damar kra, the pasuk says, al tikach mito neshech v'tarbis. Don't take from him neshech and ribis. Ahadarlay, you should return it back to him. Why? The rest of the pasuk says, which Mar doesn't quote, the pasuk says, v'yareisim elokecha v'chei achicha imach, that he should live with you. So holding on to ribis is a death sentence to the person. So therefore, return the money, take the money back, so neither the malve, the love have to die. They could live. Kiecha denachi, says the Gemara. Ahadarlay, kiecha denachi. Badech, so he could live with you. So imach, the Gemara says, according to the pasuk, meaning in general, Yerusha is not viewed as a lokeach. So, and therefore, Yerusha could hold on to all the Isurim. There's a special gzezakasa. By ribis, you have to return the money in order to bring about chayim to both the malv and the lova. But that's only a warning to the father, not a warning to the son. Now the Gemara says, so now we have two different statements. Is this statement of Rami Bar Chama going on the Mishnah yesterday about gzela? Or is it going on today's statement about ribis? So the Gemara says, "Man demasni la abraisa." The one who learns Rami Bar Chama's statement on this brisa about ribis, kol shekein amasni, and certainly there refers to gzela as well. Why? What's the kol shekein? You look at Rashi two lines from the top. It says, "Man demasni la." The one who teaches laha the Rami Bar Chama abraisa, the brisa we just brought about ribis, kol shekein certainly refers to the mission as well. Amasnisim the leketai machrina limiftrei elahai. There's no other reason to exclude, either because of this, kokama de lo mechasres la lemasnisin mashma de gzela kayemes. So there's nothing being lost. When it comes to ribis, the ribis gets lost. But when the gzela is kayemes, so then certainly the, wait, how do we apply this, let's say? Right, again, Rami Bar Chama says, Rishus Yoresh is Kirishus Lokeach. So that's applying to ribis. So certainly that's going to apply to gzela as well. What's the kal v'chomer though? Hey, why is that kol shekein? How do you understand that kol shekein?
Because the gzela is still kayam by the
bani. But then kol shekein, you should have to return it. We're saying you don't return it according to Rami Bar Chama. Not quite sure the kol shekein. Let's look at the other side. Maybe that helps us out. Then the Gemara says, you got it?
Because the fact that it's kayam and you're not returning it, it's for sure a shinu rishus.
The fact that it's kayam and you're not returning it.
And you're not allowed to return it, it's for sure. You're making a much stronger point on shinu rishus when it's kayam than when it's not kayam.
So the Mishnah says you don't have to return it. So Rami Bar Chama's explanation is because Shinu Rishus, that Yerusha is like
a stronger state.
So if it applies when it's not around, so certainly when it's Gzeilas Kayemes and we say not to return, it must be because it's Yerusha Shinu Rishus, right. Must be. It can't because it's not around, because right. It is around. It must be because it's far very good of Rishus Yoreshes to Rishus Lokeh. But then the Gemara says the opposite. But man, the Masila, Amasnis, and the ones who understand the statement to be on the Mishnah with the Gzeil of Kayemes, Aval Abraisa, Rabbi Marchama, Kirabi Masnila. But maybe it's possible that he only says that statement by the Mishnah with the Gzeil of Kayemes. But when the Gzeil is not Kayemes, meaning the Ribbis is no longer there, he might understand like Rava that really Shinu Rishus is not Lav Kayach Dami, and it's only because of a Gzeil Sakasiv that you don't have to return the Ribbis. Okay, new Brisa now, around 10 lines down, the Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan, HaGozel U'mayichil Es Abanav, Turin Milshalim. Person steals and feeds his children, they mean there's nothing left. The Gezela is Ein HaKayemes, so you don't have to return the money. Heniach Lefneim, but let's say the father dies and he leaves in front of his children what he stole. Gedolim Chayavim Lishalim, the Gedolim, the ones above Bar Mitzvah, have to pay. But Ketanim Turin Milshalim, the children, the minors, don't have to pay. So the Gemara says, "Vim amru gedolim ein anu yodim cheshbonos shechishav avinu imcha paturin." But if they say that even the gedolim said, "We don't know what type of what our father stole. We don't know the calculations," so then they're parted from paying. So the Gemara says, "How is that the case? Mishum da amri ein anu yodim paturin? Because they say claim ignorance. That means they're patered off the hook. That's not never patur." So Amar Rava, Rava says, "No, hachi kama." Gedolim she'amru yodim anu cheshbonos, the gedolim who say we know the cheshbonos of our father. But shechishav avinu imcha, all the dealings he had with you, v'lo pash le'gave, but he doesn't leave anything, there's nothing of yours by us, he got rid of everything, v'lo midei p'turin, then you're pater. But if they know what, if it's hiniyach avim, if the father left over the gzela, then they're obligated to return back. Now how you calculate what they owe, that's a whole other story. If the children don't know, so whatever the nigzal claims, they get to collect. Oh, that couch is mine, that TV is mine, everything's mine, that's not fair. So I'm not sure how you calculate it, but either way, we're certainly saying that the Gedolim cannot claim ignorance. If, again, there's nothing left, they say, we know what he did, but there's nothing by us that's yours anymore, then they would be pater. This obviously requires a lot more investigation to whose taina is correct and but what objects what.
The claim must be that they're aiding. I think it's saying that even with aiding, right? Or no?
I would imagine with Adam, then Adam said, "This is what you stole. And you see it in your house, and there's no way to. You can't go against Adam at all, just because they claim that it's not here anymore. Can't imagine that would get them off the hook if they're Gedolim."
Right, but the balance without Adam, it's like you say.
Yeah, so I don't know how you balance that out exactly. I'm not sure. Rashi doesn't address this. I don't see any Tosfos here. I've made a Tosfos on top
here. Here. פירש הרשם מדובר כשלא נודע שהחפץ היה גזול ביד אביהם אלא על פי תודעת הבנים אבל אם היה ידוע שהחפץ בא על ידי אביהם בגזלה לא היו נאמנים לומר שאביהם שלם את הגזלה שכן אפילו האב עצמו אם היה יודע שהחפץ בא על ידי גזלה אין הוא נאמן לומר שחזר וקנה אותו.
So it's a Bari v'Shema case. If they claim Bari and the Nigza Banim say Shema, then the Bari wins. But if they say, Bari, I agree, our father stole, but you know what, nothing's left in our possession anymore, so then they would get off the hook. Okay, the Gemara quotes another Bryce in the last few narrow lines. On the Amud here, Tanya Idach, HaGozel Maichel Banu Patur Milashalim. He steals and feeds his children Pater from paying because there's nothing left to pay. In Niach Lefneim, he leaves over some of the food or some of the objects, V'achlam, and then after he dies, the children ate them. Then bein gedolim bein ketanim chayavim. Then they have to pay because they took something that wasn't theirs. So ketanim mi mechayve lo yehi elo adazuke azuke. We know if a katan's mazik, a katan's pater. So if the katan eats the food that wasn't really the father's, he didn't know, or even if he did know, even if it was done b'mezid, he's pater from hezek. So how could you make the katan pay? So Amra Papa, Rav Papa explains hachi kamar. The Braisa meant to say, Heniach lefneim, if he left behind the stolen objects of adayin lo achlam and they didn't yet eat them, then bein gedolim bein ketanim chayavim. Then they have to return the objects; it's not theirs. But if they ate them, so then the gedolim would have to pay because they're mazik, but the ketanim would be pater. So now Amar Rava, Rava says heniach lahem avim parim sheulo. Let's say the father passed away and left behind a cow that he was in the middle of in the midst of barim. Mishamshin ba, Kol Yimei She'ilasam. So the children are allowed to use that cow for the remainder of the days. That was the borrowing term. Mesa, if the cow dies, Ein Chayavim Bonse, even though the halacha is at a Sholos Chayiv in Ones, these children, even though they're getting use of the She'ela, they're potter if the animal dies Be'ones. Kisvurim Lefayim, that's point one. Let's say Kisvurim Shel Avimhu. Let's say they thought it was their father. They didn't know it was borrowed. And they went ahead and said, V'tavchu, they shechted the cow that was borrowed. V'achlu, and they eat it. Mishalmin Dimei Basar Bezul. They have to pay back money to the Shoel, rather to the Mashio, but they pay the cheap meat. They have to pay the higher end, they pay the cheaper meat. Now this last line, let's say their father left over some land, some property, as a chraus, as a lien, so then they would have to even pay. So what's this last case talking about? This hiniach avim achraus, they would have to pay what? Ikam demasi la aresha, ikam demasi la seifa. One opinion thinks that hiniach lehem avim achraus is referring to the resha of the cow. So he borrowed the cow and the cow died, so normally you don't have to pay back because the children are potter from onsin, but if there was some property, so then the children would have to use the property to pay back the mashio. Others say it's going on the seifa, that if they shechted the animal not knowing it wasn't their father's, so then they have to pay bezul, but if there's property left over, they would have to pay the full amount of the cow that has been shechted. So the Gemara explains. So the man demasi la resha, the one who learns is referring to the resha that going on the sheila that died. So kol shekein haseifa. So certainly they have to pay back for the animal that they shechted improperly. That was an iser involved. Now in echanami they didn't know, but that was more their fault, more hezek. Upliga the rapapa, and this argues on rapapa. We'll see who rapapa is in just a moment. And man demasi la aseifa, the one who learns is on the seifa, the case of the shechted and not knowing. Aval Reisha Lo, but maybe in the Reisha case, by the case of Sheila, they wouldn't have to pay from the Achrayos. So, just look at Rashi for 1 second here. The Machlokas here, between these 2 days, look at Rashi, it says, Ika de Masnila. That's the one we want here. Actually, no, look at the Rashi, the last few narrow lines, Aresha. Aresha, I'm going to read through it quickly. The Kamar Mesa Ein Chayavim Be'onseh. If it dies, you don't have to pay the Onseh. However, Im Heniach Lehem Avim Karkaos Chayavim Neshalim. There's already a property, a lien on the property when the father was alive. Do you guys have an extra gimel there, the next line? Get to Kesavar? Next word is the Kesavar? I have a gimel there. Yeah. I have an extra gimel there. Okay. Misifta made a mistake. Okay. The Kesavar Rava, Chiv Onsin Mishas She'ela Mutal Aha Shoel. So the moment a person borrows an object, there's an automatic lien that happens on his property, that falls onto his property. That happens right away, according to this first opinion. And pligi the Rapapa argues, says Rashi, Damar lekaman lo rami chiv onsin ashoel ad shas te'ones. The property lien doesn't happen until the onus happens. But b'shas she'ela, there's no lien. So that's the machlokas. So according to the first opinion that says, if there's property around when the father's alive, there's a lien already during the father's lifetime. So when the father dies, so you have to pay for the property. But the other opinion holds that no, not true. There's no lien on the property b'shash she'ela. Only once the onus happens, then the lien happens. So if the father died, and while the children are using the she'ela, the cow dies, that's when the lien falls. And since the father's already dead, the lien doesn't fall upon the property. So that's the machlokas. When does the shiba take place? B'shash she'ela or b'shash onsin? The Gemara explains, who's Rav Papa? So 5 wide lines down, Dam Rav Papa, Haisa para gnuvalo. Let's say the cow was stolen, Vitavcho b'Shabbos, and they shechted the animal on Shabbos. Chayiv, the chayiv to pay dal behe, Shekvar chayiv b'gneva, kodem sheyavo lidei iser Shabbos. Because gneva took place during the week. He stole it on Friday, they shechted it on Shabbos. So since gneva, you have to pay back already since Friday, you have to pay dal behe. You're going to tell me, then when you do shechting on Shabbos, come lebe the rabbi minei, you shechted on Shabbos, is a chiv misa, a chiv skila. So skila should exempt the paying of dal v'hei. Come lebe the rabbi minei.
It wasn't
b'inna. It is b'inna. B'shas maisa shechita, that's when dal v'hei is chayiv, and that's when there's a chiv skila on Shabbos. The reason is because by knasos, it doesn't apply. Kim lebe the rabbi minei doesn't apply. By knas, knas is a chiddush. Chiddush is a pater from the kim lebe the rabbi minei rules. And therefore, if there's a chiv karen of gneva from Erev Shabbos, so then the shechita on Shabbos will result in dal v'hei. Let's say the case of Haisa parash ulala. Let's say the cow was borrowed, v'tavcha b'Shabbos, and then you shechted on Shabbos, then you're pater. Then you're pater from paying anything. Why? Because she'iser Shabbos v'iser gneva bon kechet. I'm borrowing it. I'm allowed to use it. It's not stolen. It's not stolen until I shecht it. Now I violated my rights. That's gneva. That gneva of the parshula, plus the iser Shabbos come at the same time. So since there's a patur in the keren of the gneva, mimela I'm pater from the dal v'hei. Dal v'hei could only exist if it's a chiyuv keren. So that's your pater in that case.
It would seem that the chiyuv, meaning there is a chiyuv of guaranteeing something that is chiyuv of actually having to pay. If he never killed it, he would never be chayav chamisha. Meaning the fact that he's killing it is making chayav chamisha.
Correct.
Okay, so he might have nechasim from before, and he might be at the moment that he stole it. But the actual chiyuv of chamisha falls. Didn't fall when he stole it. His responsibility, if he kills it, falls when he steals it. But
well, so that's the shaila. That's the shaila here. The shaila is, when is my responsibility on the shaila exist? Is it exist when I borrow it, now there's a lien on my property, like what you're suggesting? Or does a lien only come into play when I actually steal it? That's
right,
the shaila.
But stealing is a different story, because stealing, when you steal it, you're actually ready chayav to return it, and there is a lien on it. But chamisha, if you steal it, you're not chayav chamisha until you actually kill it, which is actually the same time that you're chayav misa.
Correct, but it's also in this case the same time as Geneva. I'm borrowing, you're talking about a borrowed cow.
I'm talking about the first case.
The first case, when I stole it, so I'm chayav to pay right at the time I stole it, during
but
the week.
You're only chayav keren.
Correct.
Kefal.
Correct.
Right? At the moment you're only chayav keren.
Correct.
Chamisha, you're only chayav when you kill it.
Correct, yeah.
So the actual moment of chiyuv chamisha is at the same time that you're killing it, which should be kind of a derivative.
Well, that's what he said. I said before, kimle doesn't apply by knas.
That's the only reason.
Yeah, only reason. Yeah, exactly.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Not because he.
Yeah. So now this last case here, when it's borrowed and I steal it, the stealing takes place b'shas shchita, which takes place on Shabbos. That's kamei v'derabbi mineh. Then we say the iser Shabbos trumps the iser geneva, and since there's no kefil in this case, there's no karen rather. That means there's no kefil dal v'hei either. We see from all this, though, we can conclude that Papa says the lien of the Shela only is created b'shas the onus. When the Shechita happened, it doesn't pre-exist the events. So that's where the Gemara is. That machlok is above is Talia and Shechita's Rav Papa. Does the Achraus kick in b'shas Shela from the beginning, or only kick in shas Geneva?
Okay. Rashi says that there's no Dala Behe because there's no Dala Behe by a Shola.
In the second case. Okay. Mara says, now, talk about when he becomes a ganav, though, doesn't the Mimela and he shechted become dal v'hei?
He says, Ashol and Nosi Sachar and Sochar, since they can't be pater themselves with Tainas ganav, then Abraham Kefal.
There's no Kefal for them. They won't pay Kefal as a Shomer. So once there's no Kefal, there's no dal v'hei either. Okay. Marnal says, last few lines of the Amud here, Tanu Rabbanan, the Heshivas Akzela Asher Gazal, says in the Pasuk, you return the object that you stole, Matam Alam Asher Gazal, that's unnecessary. We already said, Heshivas Akzela. Asher Gazal, by definition, it's stolen. So what does it mean? Yachzir Kein Asher Gazal, return the way it was stolen. Mikan Amru, from here we say, HaGozel Umachil Ezbanav, Pturin Lishalim. You only have to return it if it's still the end, if it's still around, intact. But once it's fed to your children, you're Pater Milishalim. But if you leave the object behind, then bein gedolim bein katanim chayavim, then you would have to return it. Mishum sumchas amru, in the name of sumchas, they said gedolim chayavim katanim paturin. So he says differently. No, only the gedolim have to return it, but the katanim do not have to return it. They're potter from paying. So the Gemara says now, the ma'isa bar chamua de Rabbi Yirmiya. So the son of Rabbi Yirmiya's father-in-law, so that's his brother-in-law. So his father-in-law's son. So Bar Chamur, Rabbi Yirmiya, Tarek, Gali, Bape, Rabbi Yirmiya. It's shut the door in front of Yirmiya's face. Why would happen here? So if you look at Rashi down here, Rashi says Bar Chamur, Rabbi Yirmiya. The last two lines, he was a katan havu. He was a katan, who's his younger brother-in-law. And Tarek Gali, Delas Psucha Bebeis Aviv. There's an open door saga. He shut the door in front of Yirmiya's face. V'lo Haniach Likanes. Didn't let Rabbi Yirmiya come into the father's house. V'fishaya Rotsa Rabbi Yirmiya Lahachzikba. Apparently, Rabbi Yirmiya's father-in-law just passed away. If Yirmi wanted to claim the father-in-law's house, and the little son, the Yasam now, shut the door, wouldn't let Rabbi Yirmi come in, so he couldn't take the house away from him. So the Gemara says, what happened next? Asal Kamid, Rabbi Abin, Rabbi Yirmi went to make a taina on his brother-in-law, so he went to the dying Rabbi Abin. And he says, Amar lo, he says to Rabbi Yirmi, Amar shalohu toveh, he's claiming his own. The katan has every right to keep it. It's the katan's. So Amar lo, but Rabbi Yirmi says, Vaha maisina sadi dachzike be b'chay avua, I have Edim here. I had a chazaka 3 years. My father-in-law was alive. And I was using this house. He gave it over to me. I lost the shard, but I had a chazak on the land for 3 years. He can't just come in, my little brother-in-law, and kick me out of my house. So Amar Leh, he says, V'chim mekablin edim, do you accept edim shelo b'fnei baldin? And Rashi says, V'hai katan kimad lesadami, he doesn't have das, so it's as if he's the baldin now. He's representing his father now. So you can't bring edim when there's no baldin here. So Gemara says, below, you can't. Didn't we say above, if the father dies and leaves behind the gezela, we said both the gedolim and even the katanim have to return back the gezel. But how could that be? Isn't a katan kiman d'les adami? So we see, no, we can acknowledge a katan being a baldin. So too Rabbi Yirmiyah says, so I want him to take him to court. He's alive, and we could he's my baldin. Let me take him to court and bring the edim. So Amar Leh, so Rav Adin says back to Rabbi Yirmiyah, Hare machlokes b'simchas b'tzidach. But doesn't Simchas argue? And Simchas says that only the gedolim are chayev, but the katanim are pater. You can't take a katan to baldin, to a bezdin. So therefore, you can't take him in light of Simchas. Amar ichbal kuli amar, you're going to go so far b'kai k'simchas lafkunin l'didei. You're going to go so far fetched and hold Simchas against me. So Simchas is a yachid, kineged rabim. We don't hold of Simchas. We hold like the rabim that says that hiniyach avim katanim are chayav. So we do view the katan as a baldin. So let's go to bezdin. Adahachi, as this, the case got further, igalgal milsa also matul kamed Rabbi Abo. So this case got on the desk of Rabbi Abo. So Rabbi Abo started to look into the case a little bit. Amar, he says, lo shmi lechu, did you not hear hadr of Yosef bar Chama Amar Bo Shaya? Who holds Damar of Yosef bar Chama Amar Bo Shaya Tinok shetakav ba'avada, Tinok that grabs his avadim the yara letoch sada shachavero and now goes to the field of his friend Amar Shelihu and says it's mine. I know who's talking here. Who's saying what?
The katan says that the field is his father.
Yeah. Aha. So he goes to the field of his friend, his other guy, and said that's my father's field. So what happens? And who Amar Shelihu and Ein Omrim Namtinat Shiyaglu? We don't say wait till he gets older. Elamotziim Yado Miad. We take it out of his hand now. We don't trust him. Ulch Shiyaglu. When he gets older, Yavi Eidem Venira. Then he could get older. But when he's a katan, any claim he makes is worthless. So the katan always loses until he brings Eidem otherwise. So therefore, your Yirmiyah should have right to the father-in-law's house. And when the katan gets older, he can bring me to Bezdin. So the Gemara says it's not a good raya. Midami. Are these cases similar? There, it doesn't, because there's no chazaka. No one, it's some other guy's field. You can't just go into a person's random field and say, oh, that's my father's, and I'm a katan, you have to listen to me. He had no previous taina. But here, the chamua, the bar chamua, the Rabbi Yirmiyah, it was everyone knew that this was Rabbi Yirmiyah's father-in-law's house, and this is his son. So there was a chazaka, that was the title of the father-in-law. So therefore, since he has a chazaka, the burden of proof is incumbent upon Rabbi Yirmiyah to prove that's his and not the katan's. Therefore, he can't bring a rai from a random sada shel chavero.
But when he becomes a gadol, the katan, when the son becomes a gadol, can he take it back?
Well, right, exactly. If he brings Edim, he can't go to a random house and say, that's my father's house. But if when he gets older, I have Edim and documents that it was my father's, because certainly, yeah. Yeah.
If the brother-in-law was a gadol, mm-hmm. then what?
So then you could take him to Bezdin and you fight it out. You've Edim.
With Edim.
Yeah.
Here you can't take him to Bezdin because he's a
Kabbalah. Yeah, he's a Labar Dasu, Kamanda Lesadami. Okay. Mara says, Amar Vashi, Amar Rabbi Shabtai, Mikablim Edim, Shlobufne Baldin. They allow you to accept Edim even if Baldin isn't present. The Tahi Bar Yochanan was bothered by this. He asked the question, Vichi Mikablim Edim, Shlobufne Baldin? Do you really say such a thing? So Kibla Minei Rabbi Yosi Bar Chanina, he accepted him, meaning what? Kigon Shahaya Hu Chola O Edev Cholim O Shahayu Edev Mevakshin Leilech Lamidisayam V'Shalchulo V'Lopa. So apparently Rabbi Yosi accepted a din of Rav Ashi that there's certain times where you are able to accept Edim Shlobefnei Baldin, and that's a situation where one of them's sick, or the Edim are sick, or they're trying to go overseas, and you summon them, they don't come. So then, in that situation, you are allowed to accept them. But it's not a rule across the board. So the Gemara says, Amar of Yehuda Amar.
The one who do bad is the Baal Din, right?
Exactly, the Baal Din. So Amar of Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Mekablan Eidim, Shlob Befnei Baal Din. They also said you could accept Eidis even though the Baal Din isn't there. Amar Mar, Ukvah Lididi. So this, not such a chiddush, but we're not judging the case without Baal Din. We're just filing the Eidis away. So the Baal Din doesn't have to be there. He's not responding. It's just facts. The Baal Din can't say anything against Eidis. It's filed away, and the Beis Din just stamps it, and then they present what we heard. Right, exactly. So that's permitted. That would make sense to allow for such a thing. So the Gemara says further, Amar Mar Ukvah Ludidi Mefar Shili Mineich, the Shmuel was once said to me, how to explain Shita Shmuel, Kigon, when does he allow you to be Mekabel Eidis Shalom B'fnei Baal Din? Kigon De Paschulei B'dine, where they started the process, and... Is there Rashi for a second? No Rashi. The Shal Chulev Lo Asa, and they sent to the Baal Din, he didn't come. But if they didn't start the Din Torah yet, Matzi Amarlei, he could say, Anil Beisin Agoto Aslina. So there's a whole other discussion in Maseches Sanhedrin that ended the third parak. Which Beis Din do you go? How do you decide which court to? Zabula, Zebor Lo Echad, Zebor Lo Echad, I pick one, you pick one. Whole process. So if you didn't start the process yet, so you can always claim, I want to go to the Beis Din Agoto. Let's go to the Sanhedrin. So who said I want to go to this Beis Din, the local Beis Din? So therefore, you can't take the Eidus if he hasn't accepted which court to go to yet. Ihachi, that's the case. So kipaschalei nami matzi. Even if you started the process, he could always say, I want to go to the better Beis Din. So what's the taina? So amalei, he could say, matzi amalei le Beis Din agadol azilina. So Gemara says, amar ravina kigon de naked diska mi Beis Din hagadol. What's a diska, says Rashi. So Rashi says, Kigon de Nakir Baldin Chavero diska, Igeres mi Bezdin Agadol Sheshalchu Bezdin Shokan Lekofo. If Bezdin Agadol gave permission and a license to the local Bezdin to act and enforce the din, so then they have the license and they are allowed out to begin the process. And if the Baldin refuses to come, you could already start accepting the Eidus without him being there. Amar Rav, Rav says, Mekaimen es Ashtar Shlobefne Baldin. You could also approve a Shtar. Without the Baal Din being there, because that too has nothing to do with the Baal Din. It's going to affect him, but the approval has nothing to do with him. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Ein Mekaymin Zeshar Shlo Befnei Baal Din. You can't. Amar Rav Sheshes the Rabbi Yosi Bar Abohu Asar Lid the time of the Rabbi Yochanan. What's the reason? Amar Kra, the pasuk says is a pasuk I think by the Shar Muad, right? The pasuk says Vehuad Bivala Vloish Merenu. It has to Amar Torah Yavo Baal Hashor V'Yamud Al Sharo, that the owner has to stand present on his object. If his object's being attacked and challenged, he has to be present. So if it's his shtar that's affecting him, the Baal Din has to be present. All the cases of whether it's a chefta being approved or rejected, the Baal Din has to be there. The owner has to be there. Amar Rava, Rava says Hilchah. So what's the bottom line here? Hilchah is Mekaymin Es Hashar Shelo B'fnei Baal Din. You are allowed to. They prove a shtar, stamp a shtar, even if the Baal Din isn't there. V'afil omir v'tavach. Even if he's standing there and screaming against it, you're still allowed to. V'amar nikiti li zimna. If he says, please grant me some extra time. Ad shim demaisi sadi. Umarina l'shtar. Before you prove it, say naktinale, we're allowed to hold on to, we could give him some extra time if he wants. We grant him a few extra days. I'asa asa, if he comes, he comes, great. Vilo asa, natchinale behab. If he doesn't come, so then we can wait Monday, Thursday, Monday for him to come back. Ilo asa, if he doesn't write it, kasfina and psicha alave. We write a psicha, Rashi says, shtar shamta, al shein pare hachov. We write a letter of excommunication against him, that he didn't pay back his debt. Tishin yomim, for 90 days. How does it break down? Chalasin kamai, the first 30 days, lo nachtin and lichnichse. We don't go down to his property yet. Damar Katarach Bezuzeh, we could assume he's trying to go through his banks and trying to find some money to pay back. Venizuf, and he's borrowing money maybe. Mitzia, the next 30 days. Nami lo nachtinu le'nichse, we don't go down to his property either yet to confiscate. Damar Dilma lo ashkech le'mezef, maybe you couldn't find anybody to borrow money from. V'katarach humazin bas mazi, trying to sell property to get the money. Basrai, the last 30 days. Nami lo nachtinu le'nichse, we also don't confiscate property just yet. Maybe the guy buying property from him is also looking for money. So I sold my couch. So now the guy who bought it needs to find money to get me. So we give him 90 days for the whole process to find money. Lo asif, if 90 days passes and he finally doesn't come, Kasvinan Adarchta Anichse, we write in Adarchta, which says Rashi's Psak Din Leirid Hamal Velatoch Nechosim Shalove Velitlam Beshuma Bechovo. We give the Malva, the bank, right to go down to the property and lock up the doors, take out the whatever they need to take out with the approval of the Bezdin, as long as the evaluation comes in what they're owed. Vahani Mili Damar Asin, this only true if he says, I'm coming, don't worry, I'm coming, and he doesn't come. Aval Amar Lo Asin, if he refuses to come right away, then La Alter Kasvin, and then immediately, we don't wait, he refuses to come, he doesn't want to deal with Bezdin, then right away, we write him a Darchta, he's allowed to go down to the property. Now, it's not going to be pleasant, obviously, if you send the Malva down to confiscate the property. Lamaisa, how that works, I don't know. You need to have some bodyguards, but right away we give them the right to take away the land. Hani Mili, this is also true b'milva. When money was loaned and not returned, aval b'pikad l'nal to kasvinim. But if the guy has an object and he doesn't have the object that he's supposed to return, so too, right away, you can't say, oh, I'm looking for the money, I'm looking for the object. The object should have been in your possession. The moment he denies it and he wants to have more time, we don't give him any more time. When is there permission to collect? It's amakakari. Only on land is there such a lien. But we don't let them collect any of the property, any of the movable property. Because maybe what's going to happen here? But it's possible that the malva might take the property and eat it and get rid of it and use it. And then what's going to happen is v'chiasi lova umaisi sadi. But then lova is going to come and bring edim umar le l'shara and going to show that the shara was false. So then lo mishkach mide lemigve. Now he has nothing left to collect from. If he collects only the land, so the land's always there. But if we allow the malva to collect property, movable property, and it gets used up, and the lova turns out to prove that the shara is fake, the lova loses out. So you can't collect metatlam. Vi islay b'karkake lemalve kasvinan. Now, if there's land to the malva, we write. What's that line saying here?
It's in a case where there's metopoly by the malva, and we said we don't give it to the malva. But if the malva has other property, that could theoretically be
additional to the metopoly, yes, proper.
If the malva has karkal, so we write even on the metopoly.
Then we're not concerned about the malva eating the metalta.
Uh-huh. Because he has property that we can always confiscate from the malva. Uh-huh. Okay. Vi yislei makarke, the malva kasvinun. Then we would write even on the metaltalin of the lova. And the Gemara lohi not true. Adarchta metaltalin the kasvinun. There's a klal, we never write adarchta on metaltalin. Afa gav yislei makarke, even if the malva has property. Chashinun shematachs, if it's possible, the property might go down in value, and he's going to lose out. Then the Gemara says further, v'chi kasvinun adarchta, when we do write a adarchta, we say, modin le, we let him know, we have to let him know that we're writing this on your property, be aware, and v'hani mila di makariv, it's only when he's close by, aval mirchak lo, but if he's far away, then the case would not be, we don't have to let him know. Why not? What's the svara? It probably takes extra time. We have to let him know first, so it's going to be a few days to get to him and come back. We're losing a lot of time if he's within a day's walk. So then we let him know first. By the way, tomorrow we're writing a dachta on your property. But if he's already 2 days or further away, then we won't write it. It's wasting time. If he's far, but he has, I guess, property, rather relatives that are close by. So inami ika sharasa dazli vasi, or there's people going back and forth in caravans. So then, then we actually give him 12 months, a full year, until he could possibly come back and deal with this situation. Just like we have a case of Ravina, he waited 12 months for Mar Acha, and until he came back and he took a caravan back, and the Gemara said, Lohi, not true. That why we waited only by that case, because he's a very strong individual. He was scared of him. Ma'ach was an Adam Gadol, Adam Olim. So therefore, we waited 12 months. But in general, we don't give a person 12 months. Because even if the Darchta got to his hand, then no one, he wouldn't have listened anyways. So he gave him 12 months. He was nice to him. About Hachalo, not generally. But in general, by regular person, we don't wait 12 months. So what happens? How do we wait here? So rather we say, we send the Sheikh Bezdin on Tuesday, he lets the Lover know on Wednesday, and then Thursday, they go to the Bezdin, if he comes, he comes, he doesn't come, he doesn't come, and we take care of the process. Okay, should we go... Let's go two more lines here. Three more lines. Amar Ravina, Hai Shluch the Rabbanon, Mehamnina like Kibetrei. We trust the Shliach Bezdin like the power of two. Vani Mila the Shamta. That's only with respect to Shamta, placing someone in excommunication. That if he says that you were placed in a Nidoy, we trust him even if he doesn't have a Shtar. About the Psicha, but when it comes to the Psicha, where we write a Shtar in Nidoy, then says Rashi, what's the difference between the two? The first case is a hazmana. We trust the Shliach Bezdin to be mazman, to summon him to court, even though he doesn't have a document summoning him. But to place an individual on Benidui, then we don't trust him like to came into Mamona Kamachasar, like since he's causing a loss of money, to Kabaile, Lemisiv Le, Zuze, Lesafra Lo. Since he has to pay money, we don't trust him. What does that svar mean? It says, Rashi, Psicha, Shtar Shamta, Vechi Sharule, Shamta, Lo Shari Le, Adiyav, Zuze, De Psicha, Lesafra. I guess it's referring to about the Shtar Nidoy, since it's going to be a loss of money. Right, the Nitva is one who has to pay the Safra's costs, the money cost to write the Shtar. Therefore, we don't trust the Shliach at all, rather unless there's two. What's the Svar here? What's going on?
Psicha, is that the Ripa?
Psicha is the Shtar Nidoy. The guy's in Nidoy now. Right. What's happening here, if you're handed a Shtar Nidoy that you're in place of excommunication, so he takes it, now, on top of that, he has to pay for the cost of the Shtar Nidoy that's going against him. He needs to pay out of pocket the $50, you just handed this Shtar Nidoy, then pay for it also. So, the lach is, since he has to pay for it, we don't trust the Shliach Bezdin as one aid, as the power of two aidim. You need two people to come and say, this is yours, because you need shnei aidim badavar, two aidim in every case of mamon, that's why you need two aidim. But if it's simply a hazmana that you're summoned to court, then we trust him because there's no chisar and mamon for the individual here, so he does have to come and we trust him. Okay, we'll stop here.
Only please when you rip it.
No, I think.